I sort of have nothing to say, but it has never stopped me before. I've sort of been looking back over the talks of the last couple months, and in a sense how influenced they've been by the circumstances of the world. I think a lot of people want to look at their spiritual life as somehow transcendent of or independent of or separate from the nature of what's going on around us in the world. Some people think of it as a dream, an illusion. Something not to be engaged, and that the real power of spiritual life is disengagement or separation from the attachment to and the undertow, if you will, of worldly events. And I completely subscribe to that. There is a certain freedom, liberation, in somehow not being engaged in all of what's going on around us. But that has not been my experience. I definitely have an ability, and I guess a choice, that comes out of years and years of practice, excuse me, of finding a still point in the midst of all of the noise, finding a retreat space within that is not dominated by the outer form. And I think that's a very healthy thing to have acquired and have built over the course of years or have arrived at. And I feel deeply grateful that I can go into my heart, enter into the infinite space of the chakra within, and just feel so much love and gratitude and joy and wonder and amazement at the exquisite beauty of the world we live in and the exquisite beauty that precedes it within. It is possible to stay free of, liberated from, untouched by the world on some level. And to the degree that that brings peace and quiet and serenity and joy, I recommend it. But every so often, the world we live in goes through a upheaval, a dynamic shift. The waves are different. The normal wave action on the shore turns into something that is much more typhoon-like, hurricane-like. The magnitude is different. It shifts. Which may mean that this is a wonderful opportunity to test your skills, either surfing those waves. And every so often on the news you see photographs of people taking these 70-foot waves and somehow managing to ride them. And you can't do anything but wonder and applaud at the ability of some people to ride waves like that. But most people stay on the shore. They get out of harm's way. They find a quiet place. They stay indoors, they go to the bar, they have a drink, they watch TV, and they wait for the storm to pass. And that's all fine. Some storms, however, and they're unusual in our experience, we have never had them, rage for a very long time. 70-foot waves is no longer the exception, it's the rule. I suspect in 70-foot waves that are the rule, maybe there will be more than one person surfing them. Maybe groups of people will decide to go out and try to figure out how do we ride these waves, and that's great. And a lot of people will build fortresses and barricades and try to find ways to protect themselves from the forces of this dynamic storm that seems to want to rage. And probably the most secure place to go will be to the most protective space available to human beings, which is in your heart, your own heart. Find your way in. Sit down, open, observe, touch the stillness in the middle of the raging winds. It's not unlike today. You know, we're having one of these once a decade storms outside, and the winds have been howling, and my son Josh's house has no electricity, and you know, the people heard, knew there was great storm waves approaching today, and it's going to be a very dynamic day, and I fully anticipated that not many people would show up here because it would be so powerful. And in some ways I was right. The class is definitely the smaller class today. But the moment people arrived, I celebrated those who just said, oh well, there's a storm, who didn't seek enclosure and protection within, who didn't say, okay, this is a time to batten down the hatches. They just said, put on your coat, wear an extra layer, get in the car and drive carefully. Engage the world. And then I have three new students who came today all the way from Nevada City, who I told 2 days ago, you don't have to do this. There's going to be some major rain out here today. It's been predicted for a while. You don't have to do it. But nothing, as far as I could tell, in them considered the rain a problem. It's rain. You know, it's rain. Storms happen. Things go on here. As I've said before, and I told them, and I've said to you, one of the great experiences that I got out of Rudy's teaching was when a group of students from Texas braved 36 hours of driving to come to his class, and then all fell dead asleep in the middle of the class because they had absolutely no energy left, and then were completely ashamed and embarrassed that they had missed the class. And Rudy said, no, 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 no. Your class was the ride. Your class was the ride here. And I have to say, judging by the way one can react to the world, one can say, oh, it's just an illusion, whatever that means, but a storm is a storm, and it's not totally illusory for most of us. You can learn how to ride huge waves, but the chance of being killed by those waves is pretty great. You can batten down the hatches and not go out and stay in a safe zone. Or you can do what Rudy teaches, which is ask for help to surrender, to let go. and to let go of your resistance to what is. Rudy talked about resistance a lot, and he talked about surrender a lot. Resistance to what is at the cause of, at the source of all human suffering. Resisting the what is what forces you to begin to cut yourself off from life and the world and from suffering with whatever means you can find. And we know the world provides lots of means for cutting off life, you know, from medicinal and psychological and distractions. I mean, there's so many ways one can wall the world out in a way. But Rudy used to say, when you wall the world out, it's like you start to build the walls of your own coffin. You start to lock yourself in as much as lock the world out. Going out there and surfing the waves, being an activist, if you will, in a big dynamic way, is fine, but it means your life is determined by big waves. Your life is determined by how big a wave I can ride, and waiting for the next one, and waiting for the external to give you kind of direction and prove your power and your strength and your capacity. It's all, it's fine. But this idea of accepting what is such an interesting middle path. It's such a Buddhist idea. The rains come and you say, I can't go out, I'm going to have a problem, I'm going to stay inside. Join the human race. Protect yourself from the storm. The Buddhist ideal is put on an extra layer, put on your raincoat, get in your car, make sure you have enough gas, and go where you're going. Do what you're going to do. It's a simple engagement. It's a surrender to what is. It's not a surrender meaning capitulation to what is, it's an accepting of what is. The storm outside is raging. So, you go forward. And the fact of you guys who are sitting here today, it's such a demonstration of that. It's such a demonstration of such a simple thing. I wasn't in your head this morning, so I don't know the dynamic of the debate that went on. Some of you, I think, probably said, should I look at the weather report? When's the rain going to be the worst? Da, 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 da. Oh, I think I can make it. It may have been a dialogue like that. Or you may have gotten up and gone, oh, it's raining, I'm going to go. Or not even thought about it. Just got in the car and gone and done your thing. Spiritual development, from my perspective, is not hiding from the rain, using it as an excuse, using it as an opportunity to test yourself against the powers of the universe. It's just there. It's just there. Find a way to be with what is. And that simple middle path, that level of profound acceptance of the day-to-day, is really at the core of what one is learning spiritually. Acceptance, in a way, implies something of a you who has to accept it. And that, unfortunately, is the discomfort zone of most spiritual practitioners. I have to accept this. I have to surrender. I have to do something. And that's how you begin your long journey as a yogi. I have to change me to accept this. I have to do the work. And so how does the I do that? How does it go through that? Well, the incredible thing about Rudy is he gave us a practice and a technique, you know, the double breath exercise, which really just makes us stronger, and it takes us inside and it says, please help me to accept or to surrender to the what is. Please help me. And it's an asking, it's a dialogue, it's an experience of you trying to get to, not there, but to here, to accept this, not to accept what will be, but what is. And this practice is the exercise of being a yogi, a person learning to yoke, to join what is, That's what yoga is. It's to join what is. And the problem is, most of us don't do that. Most of us live not in a joining life, but in fighting it. It shouldn't be this way. That's not how I wanted it. I want that. Why did I get this? Why can't I have whatever your drama is? That's the source of ongoing human sadness and frustration. Now, it's possible to engage the need and the drama for more and just go, okay, I'm going to do the battle. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to fight for what is and what I need and what I want. And so join the fight that there's not a conflict in you about doing it. It's just like, I'm committed. It's like getting up in the morning and going to work, to the yoga class, the meditation. It's the doing of it that you don't fight doing. That acceptance, that simple acceptance is what this is all about. In the beginning, you have to train yourself like you train an animal, like you train your mind. You train yourself to go, thy will be done. I accept yes to what is. You train yourself to arrive at that. And you do it by daily practice, by going yes to all the hard things that you have to say yes to, like telling someone you're sorry, like realizing you've taken the wrong path and making a choice to take a different path. This is really hard stuff for human beings to do. But we're all human beings and we're all figuring it out as we go along. The great idea of a spiritual path is that you can do it better. That you can stop fighting life and join it. You can become one with what is rather than one in an obstruction to what is. Now, some people get enormous pleasure out of obstruction and amazing joy out of embattlement. And if that's who you find yourself to be, well, go for it. I'm not trying to create a one path fits all. It's nothing like that. It's what's your path? What is your journey? What is your ride? What is your ride supposed to be? How do I find what that is? Well, you ask for help to surrender and to accept the what-is-ness of your own life. And each one of us is so differently constructed that if I tried to give you a plan for you that somehow mirrored mine, that would be a terrible mistake. My plot is for me. You know, I was built in a certain particular way. I was never going to be an athlete. I always had a creative side. I could feel the energy moving toward the creative, and I tried to go to that. I tried to feel where the strengths were, where the weaknesses were, to balance them out as best I could, and to give myself what I would call a whole and full life. I didn't have a clue how to do that until I met Rudy. And Rudy came in and he gave me the chakra system, the diagnostic system, excuse me, that allowed me to look inside and see, wow, these things are not working in you. This part of you is not working. There's certain dynamics that are not in effect. You know, and I could see I was very lazy. I really thought my entire life existed from here to here. You know, I mean, I liked the sex part, but everything in between was kind of complicated. So I started doing physical things. I never was very physical, but I started going to the gym. I started going to the pool. I swam for years. I've walked for years. You know, I'm not an athlete, a competitive athlete, but I found ways to make me feel physically healthy and happy and content. Other people have extraordinary physical capacities, and they have no intellectual capacities, but they could read a book. They could write a poem. They could think about things. Some people have these huge hearts and love everybody, but they're totally unable to sort of distinguish between who is going to betray their love or who's going to misuse their love in a way and who's going to nurture them back. We want a reciprocal world where we are fed and nurtured and we feed and nurture. That's what we want, not where your energy just goes out. Rudy once described to me a situation. He said it was a vampire situation, but he didn't know it. His energy, he was pouring his energy out to this person, loving and loving and loving, and nothing came back. And finally he realized they were draining his blood. They were taking it all away. Nothing came back. What's that about? That's not healthy. So you begin to, with your meditative life, your internal life, you begin to see what works for you. And as you begin to see what works for you, and you ask for help, for guidance, in what you discover within your heart chakra, particularly for me, is a guidance system. It's a system that helps lead you into choices that are well considered, that seem to have a natural, absolute, affirmative flow that feels right. And you find right action, right thought. You start to get a sense of how to behave in the world. And the world starts to respond to that in a really wonderful way. And you start to wake up to how you can become a whole person functioning in the world. And you start to become aware that the world functions in a particular way. And then, the storm of the decade, or the storm of the century, occurs. And all of your lessons and all the things you've learned now are thrown up into the air, and what do you do? Well, my experience is, foundationally, there are enormous lessons in everything that I've been doing all of this time. You've got to put it to work. You can't just sit back and say, oh well, I mean, you can. You have that choice, I guess. You can also batten down the hatches and just go inside and say nothing will affect me, but you know, the world will affect you ultimately. One of the storms may knock down your house, you know, and then you're going to be sitting there, you know, oh, but I did everything I was supposed to do. Well, your house is gone. Now you got to figure out, what do you do with the fact that you don't have a house? How do you respond to what is? Well, you do it muscularly, with a muscular system, with a strength and a capacity and a will and a dynamic that says, I can function no matter what. I can be. I can respond to the dynamic energies that are coming at me and are within me. That is the enormous gift of this particular practice, that you have a responsibility to respond to life as it is. And not to hide from it, not to deny its existence, not to say, oh, it's just an illusion. I mean, you can do that, but you don't have to, because you have a capacity to be interactive with, to live with a reciprocal world where you can give and receive. One of the things you learned to give is love and compassion and care for other people. And when the world is going through a difficult time, you will be shocked at how much that comes back to you. People that you love and you shelter and you help and you embrace and you care for will be so grateful, and that care will come back to you, and it will be a creative space in which love vibrates, it expands, it nurtures, it cares for one another. And a room like this, a spiritual group, a center where people can come together to love one another when it's raining and pouring and storming outside, is a wonderful thing. Family can offer that to some of you, if you have family. Creative communities can offer that to you. Find a community that offers that support. Find something. The worst thing is to be out there in a storm all by yourself with no protection and nothing. What do you do at that point? Well, if that's really how you find yourself, well, where can you go for ultimate salvation, if you will? There's no other place I know about than into your own heart, into your own core. And you may find yourself in your own center facing extremity, hurricanes, tornadoes, political upheavals, whatever they may be. You go into your heart, and because you got nowhere else to go in the end, and you will find inside yourself that there is a doorway or a path towards something which only you have access to in your own existence, which can be called anything from love, God, consciousness, bliss, presence, truth, beauty. Now that's going to be very challenged in the middle of a big storm. It's going to be very challenged when you're on the boat going down to the bottom of the ocean. It's going to be very challenged when your body is being, you know, freezing and shaking and having a really hard time, and your mind may start to come into play and really start to question everything you believe, everything. But the training, the work that we're doing is to take a breath and go back inside and ask us inside with the greatest, deepest, prayerful asking you can find for help. Help to accept the what is. Help. You may find it really hard. You may find yourself wanting, but you got nothing else that you can do. That's your tool. And in the end, you may have to give up everything. You may have to give up your beliefs. You may have to give up your hope. You may have to give up your ambition. You may have to give up years of practice. You may have to give up all your security of knowing. You may have to give it all up because nothing is working. Nothing is there. That is about as pure a place as one can get to in existence. That's the absolute surrender. Absolute saying yes to nothing. Yes to not knowing. Yes to the absolute absence of security. The absence of knowing. Yes. That's the, in a way, the goal of this work. I think the goal of any spiritual work is to arrive at a place where everything evaporates, nothing supports you, no truth works for you, no philosophy plays into your head, nothing except what is. And you're going to learn great lessons there. You're going to learn great lessons, probably the ultimate lessons. So, this is the journey we are on collectively. You know, you can listen to people like me talking away. You can listen to, there's so many people out there. You can listen to so many philosophies you can buy into. Everybody's going to give you some sort of comfort zone, I suppose, except me. I'm not going to give you any comfort zone. All I'm going to tell you is you are on a journey that ultimately you and yourself have to navigate. And when all the storms come in, you can try surfing the big waves, you can try battening down the hatches, or you can go about your business. Get in the car, go to the supermarket, come to class. I'm very, very awed by those of you who got in your car and came here. It may have seemed like a simple choice, but it represents everything I think that's being taught here. Just keep going. Follow the path. Stay attuned to your own guidance system. If your guidance system today said stay home, don't do this, I support that as well. I get it. I truly get it. No judgment. But there's something extraordinary about engagement of the what is, as opposed to protection from the what is. And finding that engagement, that reciprocal relationship, seems to me to be at the heart and core of this practice. There is this thing we call awakening and enlightenment that will release you from the please help me get there phenomenon. What you discover instead is that there's no you in it, there only is what is. I have to say, the lessons that have been happening for me for the last few months have been the exploration of the individual self and the greater self. And it's been the most fascinating ride for me, because I am really learning more now than I've ever learned in my life. Vestiges of the Bruce character that are really never apparent appeared in the storm, the political storm. You don't get to see yourself until the totality starts to shift, and parts of you that are hidden away in the crevices and the corners of your existence start to release themselves or reveal themselves. This is all very valuable. It's just part of this process. It's part of the unfolding. What seems to be happening is a deeper and deeper and deeper surrender, a deeper yes, a deeper yes to what is. The other thing I've discovered is comedy. And I'll just throw this out as the final tool for everybody who doesn't know how to handle the day-to-day. Watch TV. Watch the comedians. Watch people who are making fun of the world that we're in right now. They speak a truth that is really profound. And the laughter you experience when they speak the truth is what liberation feels like. Nothing about what they're saying is wrong. Nothing about what you're hearing from people like Stephen Colbert and Seth Meyers and the whole group of them, they're all unbelievably funny. They look straight into the face of the darkness and they make you laugh at it. And if you want a cure, it's not permanent, but you want a cure for the difficulties of a world around you, find a way to laugh. Because that really does spark that thing inside us that is bigger than all of it. And that's really kind of where we're all headed. The spiritual ride is into one big smile. So enjoy the ride. Any questions?
I found this really helpful in accepting what is. I just wanted to get you to elaborate a little bit. I often find myself in a situation where I feel like I need to make a choice. And so sometimes the choice is to stay in a job, stay in a relationship, stay in the situation. And other times, accepting what is might be like, oh, well, this isn't what I want, so I should move on. And it's hard for me to know which
right.
way to
well,
go.
That's the most common confusion with acceptance. And I have only a simple answer to that. If you can't make a decision, it's probably because doesn't matter which one you make. And if you really do feel you're torn between two real polarities, and you go inside and you ask for help, you probably will find one that speaks to you. Something will say this way. Or your mind will tell you the other way, and then you'll go, no. And then you'll know the real answer. You know, it's really fascinating, but there is something in us that knows. And if you're really caring enough, you'll go deep inside and figure it out. And then, occasionally, it won't matter at all which way you go. And I'm starting to discover for myself, almost day to day, and this is a value of being retired and having not much on the plate, it doesn't matter if you go this way or that way. Walk up into the hills, walk into town. Go on this adventure, do not go on this adventure. It doesn't matter. You know, I do think that sometimes there is a value in doing the more difficult thing. Rudy would always say, if there's a harder way, show me, because it must be wonderful. Sometimes that's an interesting dynamic. You just pick that because, well, staying home and reading a book is not going to offer possibly the same dynamic in the world that going out in the adventure would do. So you just pick the adventure. You know, there's so many ways to sort of decide that, but inside there is a real knowing. And if that knowing decides not to present itself, then that means it doesn't matter. Pick either way. Staying home and reading a book is fine. Going on an adventure is fine. They're all fine. And it's very simple. It works. And each one will be blessed with and conflicted by probably the exact same sources. So if you stayed home and read the book, suddenly you'd have the toast would burn in the oven and you'd have this problem. If you go out and go on an adventure, the person in whoever you were with will say something that will inflame you and you'll have a problem with being burned on another level. One way or another, you're going to deal with stuff whichever way you go. And you just have to learn to say, one choice doesn't mean better, it just means a different version of what is to be. And you take it and you go, okay. It's a little bit that aso moment. Okay, aso. You just do it. And I'm really learning more and more now about what that is and finding, again, because of the luckiness of being retired and not having to do very much, that these choices are very fluid. And you become like the river. Ooh, I'm going, oh, this way, oh, that way, oh, that, and you just go with it. And each one has its things. And you take the thing that happens, and then it resolves itself. You find yourself back in your bed, and you're sleeping again, and the day went this way instead of that way, but it didn't matter. It's all possible. Everything is possible. You go on the ride, feel like going on, and see where it goes. None of it will be perfect, and all of it will keep changing. I mean, that's kind of what acceptance ultimately realizes, that whatever is not permanent. It keeps changing, one way or the other. In the happiest moments, horrible things happen, and in horrible moments, happy little things happen. There's no way to understand impermanence, except that it's going to always change, and we are in that change forever. However long we're here, anyway. Then maybe beyond. Does that help at all?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to add something, I can relate to what you said, because I have found myself in a lot of situations where I kind of get anxious, and I'm like, I have to make a choice, like, and I'm not really sure what to do. Simon has been a really good friend for me, and, like, kind of helped me out to just be like, it's good to, like, really take your time and think things through. But what I'm realizing now is that sometimes it's best to, like, not do anything at all, because I'm so, like, feeling, like, the need to make a decision, and I realized a lot of that was a fear of being punished or fear of something, just not working out or something like that, but what I'm coming to understand is I'm actually much more at peace when I don't do anything, and what's actually true will arise naturally, and in that way that, I don't know, that's kind of what I'm discovering for myself, and I'm in that situation now, so, yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Next week we're in LA, and the week after that we'll be here, and you're all welcome. Thank you.